Under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul penned these words in Romans chapter 10. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. We've got some beautiful feet in our auditorium this evening, and they are not mine. They are the feet of our missionaries, our dear missionaries, Tim and Pam Darling. A joy to have you all with us. Thank you for making this visit. And they've faithfully served in missions since around the time I was born. So I was doing some figuring. That means they're about 39 years old, and I'm 16 tonight. Amazingly, in the ministry more than 40 years, what's the exact number? 45 years. They got me beat by a year. I'm 44 years old. 45 years of faithful ministry. Most of those years, a good portion of those years in Venezuela, and then the last decade plus in Spain. They've been our missionaries here at Johnston Chapel for more than 30 years, which is incredible. So, we thank you for your example of faithfulness. Thank you for your love of Jesus, love of the church, their church planters at heart, and your love for the nations. So please come and share with us what the Lord's been doing, Tim. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Pastor. It is a joy for us to be here. We thank the Lord for this church. As I was sharing with James at supper time, we were in the others, Pam knew about the church when John King's sister, invited her to come up here, and she believed a tall tale that cows didn't have equal legs up here because of the hills. And so she's from Florida, it's all flat. And so when she got here, she found out that wasn't true, but that was her first experience here in West Virginia. And then I came at another time with a mixed quartet from the school, and we sang in a building that does not exist today. It was over there in the parking lot, the old church, and Pastor Jimmy Jones, and we ate a meal at John King's parents' house. I don't know if you were there or not, but we had a good time in that beginning. And then coming to share the work here, and then the church taking us on it for support. And we thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord over these many years. And we thank the Lord for the ministry is going forward. We've had Blake and Susan in Venezuela with us, meeting up with the difficulties that exist there, and even more so today. But we praise the Lord for visits like that. John came and taught some courses. And others have come. And we thank the Lord for the time we had in Venezuela. And this November will be 12 years in Spain. And we thank the Lord for that time period also. And our newest prayer letter just went out, update. And it talks about what we thought we would be doing at this time. Should I back up a little bit? No, I had a little feedback. Okay. What we thought we would be doing at this time, retiring according to mission policy, when you get to 70 years old, you're supposed to retire and then seek out whatever the Lord has you, at least from the mission. And then the Lord has allowed us to go back as long as we have health and strength and our mind about us. We want to keep serving, so we receive that extension, and we'll share more about that in the presentation. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just want to share a little bit from this passage and then relate the passage to the PowerPoint presentation. I'll be reading from the King James Version, and you follow along in your version. Paul in chapter 3 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave it to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul was well aware of the Greek culture and their tendency to factions. Paul, the great, well-known, and respected apostle, missionary, his companion Apollos, as we can find in Acts chapter 18, verse 24 through 28, a great orator, well-versed in the Scriptures, and a defender of the faith. The two had been taken as figureheads of two of these parties in the local church. And so there was, as found there in verse 3, there was envying, strife, and divisions. And Paul says, Are ye not carnal and walk as men? Aren't you doing what the Greek culture teaches you? And that's interesting when either here in the States or anywhere else in the world, when a person comes to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, to see where culture conflicts with Bible teaching and what they have to give up in that culture. Every culture has their plus and minuses, their good points and their bad points. And so when a person comes to know Christ as their Savior, the discipling time, that's where you teach what the Bible teaches and where it conflicts with culture. Well, culture was in the Church of Corinth. They brought their culture in. And so they had these leaders. But then, as it mentions in verse 5, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Aren't they just ministers? So we can ask the question, who were these laborers? They were gardeners. They are one in purpose, they're partners, united in operations, separate in responsibility, activity, and reward. They are nothing yet something. And when I'm in a service with children, I ask the children, what is nothing plus nothing? And of course they answer me, nothing. What is nothing times nothing? Nothing. So we can say that, but also include beside the answer nothing but God. But God. And we have a solemn thought here as we are laborers together with God. Does God need us? No, but yes. Christ said in John chapter 19, verse 30, it is finished. He was on the cross. It is finished. And because it is finished, our work has just begun. No matter what century after that, we can say, Christ can say, it is finished. That truth is true. That is ever true. But then for us, as individual believers, as a local church, the work has just begun because it is finished. As fellow laborers with God, means we ought to do God's work where He is working and what He is doing. But there is an interesting thing here found in verse 7 and 8. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labors. We are three in one. The planter of the gospel, the seed, the one who waters, and God who gives the increase. Is the one who plants the seed any more important than the one who waters? Some think so. But they are nothing in God's work because God gives the increase. So then neither is he, verse 7, he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And we find here that success is sure because he will give the increase in his time. In his time. The work of the Lord, we need to work at laboring together with the Lord. And just some thoughts here about planting and watering and the seed in relation to the ministry. The planting of the seed, preparing the soil, the initial contact with the person. The process with watering, the seed dies, germinates, and gives new birth. The progress with watering, the roots grow downward, and the plant grows upward, discipleship. The product is the fruit, the produce. We have a mature believer. And then the power of the seed, Hebrews 4:12. And we'll see a picture of the power of seed to break even asunder as the seed was planted, and it breaks a big rock and grows up a big tree. We praise the Lord for those who plant the seed. We praise the Lord for those who water the seed. And we praise the Lord when He gives the increase. So what does that have to do with our work in Spain? And do I hit the arrow to the right? I'll step over here so I can see. Want to emphasize by God's grace. Some would think, wow, 45 years. 1 year more than the pastor's age, right? Was that what you said? Well, that's the age of our oldest son, right? He's 44? Yes, 44. We have three children. One in Texas, one in North Carolina. And our daughter, who's married to Caleb, working with us we with them in Spain. But 45 years of, 45 years of planting the seed and also discipleship, that's all that is very important in the ministry. And we thank the Lord for giving us that privilege. Others planted a seed, I came in and watered, but God gave the increase. It's His work. And it's just a joy to be a part of the whole process of planting the seed and watering. Even though I'm in Spain, still about 20% of my time has to do with Venezuelans. Whether they be in Spain, in Venezuela, or in Ecuador, or in Brazil, or even in the States. Texts, phone calls. This is Juan Liscano. He's starting a church in Venezuela. Frank is a neurosurgeon. He left Venezuela to come to Spain and is trying to get his paperwork in order to bring his family over to Spain. And he stayed with us a year and a half during COVID. We too got it as soon as it hit Spain. And he got it. He was under COVID influence worse than we were, but in our house. We take the food up to him to his door. He would open up, put it in his room, eat it, and put it out, and you know, he had room service, so he had a good time. Well, not a good time, but he had that help with us there. Miguel and Dioselina in Ecuador, Cuenca, Ecuador, and Fernando Ordonquit there in Venezuela. We send clothes, we send medicine, we send offerings. Not only me, but I encourage others. Churches, and they have done that in Spain, sending it to Venezuela to help out the folks there. Edgar and his family, Alvarez, they're in Brazil and working with the immigrants from Venezuela in Brazil, and he's working with them, starting a church there also. Miguel and Clara Justis, they're in the States right now with their son, but they're in Venezuela, and we'll be meeting up with them tomorrow afternoon and Friday. They're wanting counsel. They want to share something with us, and so we have the opportunity. Not that I have all the answers. It's just that they want to share with someone, and we have that friendship and able to share with them what we believe, and they take that and pray about it and make their own decisions. In Spain, Marco Iturralde was saved in this church, and then he started studying at we use the word seminary in Europe. What it is basically like a Bible college, because in Europe they consider a seminary theological training. And so he received a degree there, and then he was ordained by the church. You can see, and we praise the Lord that he is doing a great work. And what I usually tell churches is that we lowered the American flag and raised the Spanish flag, because now they're in charge of the whole work. And he's doing a great job. He was leaning on me for certain things, and the Lord moved us out earlier than I thought we would move. And God is using him in a mighty way. And just about four months ago, he was able to baptize 8 new believers, and the work is growing. They're looking for a new place to meet, for more space, because where they're meeting right now, they could be fined because they have more people in their area, in the small storefront building, than they should have. But please don't go by and check. But according to the law, and that's why they're looking. They're looking for a better place, a bigger place, because of the growth that God is giving them. The Bible Institute Seminary was started in 1987, and it became a part also of the Federation of Fellowship of Baptist Theological Training Institutions in Europe. It was first started by a missionary that was in Africa and then went to Spain, J.T. Lyons. Oh, that wasn't on there. Well, anyways, it was J.T. Lyons and then his son, Jonathan Lyons, then Kent Albright, and then myself. And during that time, we were always looking and praying for a national man to take on this ministry. And the Lord led us to Alfredo Caravaca. And he is doing a great job. He's from Barcelona, and he works in a university in the administrative part, putting classes, times together with students and stuff like that. And he's doing a fabulous job. When I was the last missionary director, we had about 20-some students between 2 campuses. And when he took it over, he started working with others. And today, there's about 85. And there's always a on-campus study, but it also is projected out Zoom to other students who can't come to that area. So he's doing a great job, and I praise the Lord for him. Okay, there's where the other ones were. Since I'm not wasn't pastoring the church there near Madrid, I became a national pastor, and since I wasn't in charge of the seminary, I ended up having a lot more time on my hands. And so, not that I looked for it, but people started asking for help. This man in the middle of the 6 pictures up there is Juan Carlos in the Canary Islands. He was very discouraged and asked for help. And so I flew down to be with him about 4 or 5 days to encourage him. And then went back and looked for a group of people to go down and help him in his ministry. After COVID, there was only about 4 people left in his little church, and they did a VBS and other things, passed out flyers and about the work there, and also tracts. And so he's been encouraged, and we praise the Lord for the time that we're able to be with him. Another missionary in the Madrid area went on furlough for 6 months, and he asked me if I could help him. And so I was helping this new work. When it was warm weather, we met in the park in the Madrid area. They're still looking for a place to meet, but I met with them twice each month, once online and once in person. So driving down to Madrid, and that was a good experience. Also had the joy of going to Morocco and meeting up with Marwan and his wife Maria. Marwan is from Morocco, an Arab person, man, and his wife is Maria from Ecuador. They are married and living in Morocco. And in Morocco, I went there to find out more about the work and how to better pray for them. They cannot have a church property. They cannot have a church building. They cannot pass out Bibles. They cannot pass out tracts. What they have is home churches, and they also, he lives in Rabat. Rabat is the capital of Morocco, where the president lives. And then they go down to Casablanca, and a missionary has set up this studio, and they do podcasts out from there and proclaim the word and receive phone calls about Jesus, about Muslims don't believe that Jesus died on the cross. They don't believe that he suffered and died for our sins. And so people call in and ask about it. And I had the opportunity to be there with them when they were doing the podcast. One short testimony of the man in the green shirt to your left, is his name is Saeed. Saeed and another missionary had offered Bibles on the podcast, and one young person of 14 years old had started texting him saying he wanted a Bible. And so they set up a time to meet in a park area to give him the Bible. But his father, his father got a hold of his cell phone and found out he was going to meet up with someone to get a Bible. And so the man met up with Saeed and the missionary with two policemen. And so when he got there, they arrested both the American missionary and Saeed, and they went to jail. And the American missionary called the embassy, and the embassy just told them, let that man go. And so they had to let him go. But Saeed, he didn't have any contact to call like that. So when his court time came, he came before the judge, and the judge, the father and Saeed were there, and the judge said to the father, have you read the Quran? And he said, well, there's some parts I have read. And he said to Saeed, have you read the Quran? Yes, I've read all of it. And he said to the father, have you read the Bible? He said, no, I would not touch a Bible. That's part of what they can't do. And he said to Saeed, have you read the Bible? He said, all of it. And he said right there, he said, case dismissed. Saeed can go home. And he said to the father, if you're not training your child not to receive a Bible, it's not his fault that he's offering one. Which speaks about Christianity. Are we training our children to not receive the cults, literature, or hear other things? And that was interesting. An unsaved Arabic judge said, the case is closed. It's your fault, Father, for not training your child. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, right? Training up our children. We moved to, after the work in Madrid area was put into national hands, and they're doing a great job, we moved to Logroño, which is about 3 hours north of Madrid and 1.5 hours south of France. And so we're up there in that area. We're working with the Burdettes to your left, then the Romains, and then there are three of the children. Sometime a little bit later, we had another person join our team. It would be our sixth grandchild, Pax. He was born. And so we're there helping out in that ministry also. What do you call that ministry? Helps. Will that do? Okay. The reason why we have been offered an extension to continue on in Spain when we thought we would have to retire this year is because of this family, the Romaine family. The little boy in the middle has a disease, an incurable disease, and the doctors have given him maybe up to 2 months to live. It's a cancer in the stem cell of the brain, and it spreads like an octopus through everything. And we were with them about 2 weeks ago, and we'll be with them again next week sometime. They're in the States, and they were in Spain, and then within a week, when it was first diagnosed, they were medevaced out of Spain to Cincinnati Children's Hospital, and he went through 30 sessions of radiation, right? Yeah, radiation. And that was just to prolong his life a little bit, and it stayed the cancer, the tumor, and so that now it's growing back again. So that's his name is Ian, I-A-N, Ian Romaine. And if you remember it, pray for the Romaine family. And that's why we're going to be going back, because when we get back, Caleb and Sarah are going on a short furlough also, and we'll be in taking charge of the work there while they're here in the States. Aitor is an encouragement. He's one of nine who is attending our Bible study. He is also studying at the seminary, the Bible Institute, taking courses. And Caleb and I meet with him weekly, every Wednesday, for time of prayer and any type of discussion. And then we go through a book and study a book of theology or a book on ministry. And we are working with him because he wants to go into the ministry. That's our little, what they call, local, where we meet together each Sunday. And we praise the Lord for an offering that was given. And it paid for about 3 years of rent on this place. And that's coming to an end. And we thank the Lord for money that has come in so we can continue to be there for a time. Before Jonathan had to leave with his son Ian, he planted a seed, a tomato plant, and after he left, I started watering it. And today there was, when we left, green tomatoes. And if my son-in-law kept up the watering, he ate the red tomatoes. So that's good. I don't care. I was just taking up, because we didn't know when the remains would be able to come back. So I kept it up for them. And that's someone planted, we water. But in the ministry also, we found that to be true. Anyone know what a yucca plant is? Or the fruit? Okay. It's from seed to produce is about 5 years. And that's what a yucca looks like. The yucca plant and the yucca. We learned to appreciate the yucca in Venezuela and love it in soups and stuff like that. It's like a potato but different. Grown underground. This is our yucca in Spain. This lady, a Cuban lady, was baptized the first Sunday of August. But the seed was planted by our daughter, Sarah, 3 years earlier. And over that period of time, they kept sharing literature. They kept Sarah, I use the word they, Sarah and Hannah kept being in contact with her. And then this year, in January, she said, I need to talk to you about this gospel thing. And she, in February, and then the first week of March, she received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And it was the Sunday after we rotate in the Bible study time, and mine had to do with John. And I mentioned in the passage that no one seeks after God. She didn't come. She was connected with Facebook and Messenger. And she heard that, and it bothered her. I said, no one seeks after God unless God is seeking after them. And she is a Cuban lady, hired by the government, the municipal government, and she gives exercise classes to women and children. And during her recess, before she received Christ as a Savior, she always goes out to the park, sits down and eats her little snack before the next class. Well, she always goes to the same bench. But she said that this day she walked around not knowing which bench to sit in. She sat down at this bench, and it says, Jesus saves. Someone had written on that on the armrest. After her salvation, you can notice the difference in the color of her shoe, because it was afterwards. It says, Jesus has saved you. And so all these things put together, the different seed planting, the watering of the Bible study, and people praying for her. She came to know Christ as her Savior. And 3 years later, she was received Christ and was baptized in August. So she's our yucca plant. And that's the way it is in Spain. You see very little, hardly anybody, come to know Christ as Savior with the first contact. The power of the seed, as I mentioned in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the seed was planted, and it's so powerful, it can break a rock as it grows and grows and grows. That's the power of the seed. Now, discipleship started with Sarah, and then it passed on to Pam, and now it's back to Sarah, because Sarah had the baby born, Pax. And so, people all taking part in that discipleship process. And we have the promise, as God will give the increase. When? We don't know. But we are to be faithful in sharing the gospel. This picture was taken, and Caleb and I were driving down from Logroño to Madrid area to attend the end of the year service of the Bible Institute. And that rainbow was out there, and I just took a picture through the window. But it reminds me of the promise that as we plant, as we water, God in His time will give the increase. Well, the seed was planted in our hearts many years ago. Last week. No, not last week. 45 years ago, about missions and being involved, and God used different people, different activities to place in our heart that desire. And we praise the Lord when Pastor King, John King, was at Needham's Grove. We worked there, and we were sent out by Needham's Grove Baptist Church. And so, pray that the Lord will continue to plant, will help us to continue to plant in conjunction with you. We plant, you water with your prayer support, and financial gifts. It's a team. And when God gives the increase, it's an increase for this church, for His honor and for His glory. So, what do we say? Thank you. Thank you so much for allowing us to represent you in Venezuela for almost 29 years and now in Spain for 12 years, not counting the years of trying to get there. It all adds up to 45. You say 29 and 12 is not 45. You're right. But it's from the time you're, what's the word? Accepted, and you raise support and you get there and all that stuff and furloughs. So thank you so much. Pastor? We do have an up-to-date picture, not the one on that you saw. If you would like a prayer card of us, we have those two available. Thank you.
A big thank you to Tim and Pam for being with us, for sharing tonight. Lord impressed a number of things on my heart. I'd never heard it said, because it is finished, our work has just begun. I like that. That's good. Because it is finished, our work has just begun. And What an example for us here, trying to puff you up, you under the humble servants of the Lord. But what an example as the Lord directs, as there's need to say, okay, we'll put in 5 more years. We'll keep on planting seeds. We'll keep on watering. What a great example to us, this group here tonight, some aged folks, to say it kindly, a number of us, and an encouragement there too. The seed planted 3 to 5 years in Spain, America becoming more and more like that as well. It takes time. An encouraging word there for that person you love, that family member, that friend, that coworker, someone you've been witnessing to for an extended amount of time. Keep on planting, keep on watering. It's God who brings the increase in His time. We have that promise. Thank Him for that. So I just encourage you all, keep on keeping on here where the Lord has you serving. I was taken back by all the pictures, all the interactions, all the relationships that Tim and Pam have formed. That's what we ought to be doing. We're all missionaries in that sense, where God has placed us, building those relationships, making those contacts, sharing Jesus where we can. And I really encourage you, we had a word about it before the service, pray for the Romaine family. Pray for Ian. That's a heartbreaking thing. The Lord is sovereign, and the Lord is good. He'll be glorified in this, but this is hard. This is a hard thing for the family. So thank you all for walking through that with them. Thank you for your willingness to fill in and serve in their absence. And be praying that the Lord will give them the strength, the comfort, just the renewed passion and vision to go back and to share Jesus in Spain. So be in prayer for that family as well. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. And I'll go ahead and dismiss you two, if you don't mind, back to the lobby. And please take some time. If you want to interact, ask some questions, introduce yourself to the darlings. But thank you both for being here. Father, we give you the praise, honor, and glory, because we are nothing. Tim is exactly right. And somehow you don't need us, but yet you use us. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the privilege it is to serve you. Thank you for the privilege we have, that great responsibility to plant and to water. Help us to be faithful in that, in the sphere you've placed us in, the relationships that you've given us. And we wait on you, God. We know you've promised to bring the increase if we'll just be faithful to plant the seed and to share Jesus where we are. Lift up the Romaine family to you tonight. They are deep in the valley, and God, you promised to be with them there, to comfort them there. I pray they would know your presence. You'd give them just sweet times, special times as a family in these final days of Ian's life. Help them to look to you for your help, for your grace. And I pray that somehow, as difficult as this is, that you'll take it and redeem it for your glory in eternity. And we know you're good to do that. You promised to do that. So please give them the encouragement to help in this time. Give Tim and Pam the words to speak to them, to come alongside them and help them. And I do pray for Tim and Pam for good health and strength in their later years to serve well and to finish their race well. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for being here. I did lie to you about our new study. That's next week. My bad on that. I knew this was coming, but somehow it got off my radar because I was locked in on the new study. But we will start our new study next week, 12 Extraordinary Women. So I hope you'll come out and encourage other folks to come out. But thank you for being here in support of the darlings tonight. God bless you all.